And call the Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order today being Tuesday, May 26th at 11:45 a.m. Now we'll read off our official statement. The Chair and General Manager of Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our Chief Legal Counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such a time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. All right, does anybody have any changes to the agenda today?
And a motion to approve the agenda.
Second that, Zach.
And to clarify, Commissioner DeBleek, is that a motion to approve the agenda or the consent agenda?
Well, it'd be the consent agenda.
Okay, so I have a motion for the resolution to approve the consent agenda. Commissioner Mahbub, you seconded?
Yes, I second that, yep.
Okay, so the consent agenda does consist of minutes from May 11th meeting as well as bill payments. Mr. Heron, could I have you run us through the bill payments?
Yes, Chair, thank you. The bill's first page with capital projects on is page 5. You see we got Chapel Central there. Actually, that is for the conversion of our heating system here at the admin building as well as at the service center. I don't know, Kevin, maybe you can give an update how far along they are, but they've spent quite a bit of time on it already. The next one is City of Willmar. I want to point out work comp. I have it in a little mark there in red. That's our work comp. I want to point that out for our new commissioners there. Our work comp, we pay in quarterly installments. Our work comp is part of the city and utility through the League of Minnesota Cities. And like I said, that's our quarterly payment. Our work comp payment as a whole between the city and the utility is $380,000 a year. And that's after our modification factor factored into it, which we have an excellent modification factor. We got a 0.85 modification factor. So we get, for that, we receive between the city and the utility, we receive $75,000 discount. So excellent modification factor. Next capital project is our Y overhead design. A little bit of work with DGR as the Y project continues to move forward. And the last one is West Central Technology. Again, another payment on IREX that has to do with giving our outside staff the ability to run switching and stuff from iPads, iTops out in the field with decommissioning of the plant. So unless there's any additional questions on the bills, I could turn it over to Kevin to give a little bit of an update on our heat conversion for our two buildings. Kevin, you want to do an update?
Thank you, John. Chapel Central's crew has been at the facilities here for about a week and a half. They're currently working on the office building first, and I would say by looking at the install, they are probably about 80%, 85% done. Our district, we've been unhooked from the district's heating system, and it appears like they just need to finish that connection, and the gas lines have been routed through the building. We're just waiting for the gas meter from center point. So we're still on task here, give or take that end of June time frame.
All right.
One other piece of that is hot water heat, because our building's used our system for hot water heat, so they did install a hot water heater in the office, and that is functional already.
And hopefully providing consistent hot water there.
Yes.
Very good. All right, General Manager Heron, anything else on the bill payments?
Not unless there's additional questions by the commission. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioners, any questions on the resolution? Commissioner Lammer, I see that you're speaking, but I don't hear you. I believe you're still on mute if you're trying to address us. There you are. Nope. Commissioner Lammer, are you addressing the commission?
Just a question. I was just curious who you used, a firm that you used to clean the office, sanitize the office, just out of curiosity.
Kevin, do you want to take that, please?
Thank you. Commissioner Lammer, that's going to be Lake Country Cleaning, I think it's called. I'd have to look exactly. It's the same folks that do our daily cleaning.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just curious because I've had a couple people ask questions about cleaning services, and I thought, well, I'd just find out who you would use. Thank you.
Yeah, I could probably tell you here in about 2 seconds.
That's
Commissioner Lammer. They're a clean company. When this whole coronavirus started, we had reached out to them and asked them if they were qualified or if we had to reach out and have somebody else basically retained to do that service if we needed it. And they said they were qualified and capable of doing a deep cleaning if needed or required. So that's why we went with our company that does our day-to-day cleaning for us.
Sure.
It's Lakes Area Cleaning.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll call on the resolution, please.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Lammer.
Aye.
Mabou.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
Thank you.
And that carries. Thank you. All right. Next, we've got the monthly financial reports. General Manager Heron.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. First, electric division. As you can see in the yellow, our year to date, we are down from budget. We are down just shy of $1 million from prior year. However, if you look to go down the page in the orange, our expenses are down as well. We're able to control our expenses. Our expenses are down just short of $2 million, $1.9 million. So even though our year-to-date income is down, our expenses is down from budget, and it's down from last year. So that equates to positive retained earnings. So retained earnings are up by budget. They're up from last year to the tune of about $1.1 million on the electrical side. On the water side, our year-to-date amount, again in the yellow, is down from budget. It's up from last year. It's up last year about $60,000. We'd expect that to be number a little bit higher as we had a rate increase the first of the year. So that our revenue is down roughly 5% lower than what we would have expected. And that's why the difference between the year-to-date budget to the year-to-date actual. However, same story on the expense side. Our expenses are down. They're down from budget, and they're also down from last year, roughly $110,000. Our retained earnings, again, are down from budget. It has to do, even though our revenues are up, we'd expect them to be up 5% higher than what they are. And they're up from a year ago. So they're up roughly $168,000 from last year, but down from budget. As we go on to the heating, again, year to date, our revenue is up from budgeted, down from last year by about $200,000. Our expenses are down from budget, down from last year to down about $47,000. Our retained earnings are up from budget, but down from last year by $178,000. So that's on district heat. And those numbers, we'd expect that. They really, the coronavirus or COVID-19 is really not playing into those numbers. It's the decommissioning of district heat that's playing into those. Our combined all divisions, again, kind of the same story. Our year-to-date is down from last year, down from budget by $1.1 million. On our expense side, We're down from budget. We are down from last year by $2 million. So that leaves us with retained earnings over last year at this time of $1.1 million or $4.2 million totals where our retained earnings are. So even though the coronavirus, as we'll get into in our COVID update, is having an impact on our revenue with our expenses being lower as well, financially, we are remaining very solid. The graph just kind of highlights everything. The blue is the year to date. Here's our revenue, just depicts what we just talked about in our combined statements. Expense, same thing. And our retained earnings depicts as well as what we were just talking about. Any questions on our financials?
John, on the budget side, the expenses, you could look at electric or all divisions, either one. Under expenses there, the transmission operation, I see that that's down quite a bit over last year. What is that mostly attributed to there?
It's a combination of lower demands. We had looked at that number and said, well, what's driving it? Is it our demand costs? And it's almost all reduced demand costs. We pay on transmission, our cost is just shy of $7. We pay GRE for demand. So when our demand, our megawatts are down, that equates back to reduced transmission costs.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions on the budgets or financial reports?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chair, I have a quick question.
Go for it.
In regards of John, we anticipated when this whole coronavirus kind of hit us that we anticipated that close to 3 million, shortfall, or losing in terms of, utility. What percentage would you say now? Because the way you explain now, it seems to me that the expenses and retaining earning kind of balance itself, although, the expenses are down, also the retaining earning is kind of good as my understanding is now. What would we say that the 3 million that you projected, how much now we kind of shortfall in that 3 million that you mentioned earlier when the coronavirus hit us?
Oh, very, very good question, Commissioner Mabu. Yes, as I stated, even though our revenues are down, our expenditures are down more than our revenues. So our retained earnings are very respectable. We're retaining a very solid financial position at this point yet through the process. Our retained earnings, as we present it, not our retained earnings, the financial impact of COVID on our operation, we're looking at roughly $3 million we presented to the commission early on. In our presentation today, later on in the agenda, we address those questions. Right now, we're sitting, I think, if I jump to the presentation, we're sitting like $350,000 roughly is what our revenues are off. But our revenues, our losses are off on the revenue side, but they're being made up on the expense side. So when we get into the COVID presentation, we got a lot more data there for the commission to see on what's actually going on with our collections and our sales. So we can yield your question until we get into our COVID presentation. That might answer some of your questions, Commissioner Mabu.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we get into the presentation. If you have additional questions, by all means, ask them, please.
All right, I think we can go on to the investment report.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Mann. All right, investment report. You can see the investment. It's a little bit of a different face to the investment report. We also added the 4MP fund as the listed on our investments. And the reason we are added the 4MP fund to it, it's a league managed fund. It's tied to our checking account, and that's really our benchmark. We always look at the league 4M fund, and if the other brokers can provide a greater return than what the league 4M fund provides, it's worth our time to work with those other firms to do investments. So that's basically our benchmark, even though we have additional benchmarks by policy on the bottom. But as you can see, all the benchmarks that are there that the brokers that we work with all are meeting and or exceeding our threshold. So we're pleased with our investments and our returns, considering the times that we're working in. Any additional questions? All right, Chair Mattern, can I move on to the cost of power?
Yes, please do.
Cost of power, you can see we're at 5.5 cents is our cost of power for the month. And for the year-to-date average, we're sitting at 7 cents. We continue to watch our power supply costs and compare it to our EAA. Last year, we did not charge an EAA. There was no need to. And our EAA is set at 58 cents. Average for the year, $58, 5.8 cents, I'm sorry, 5.8 cents or $58 for the year. So we'll continue to monitor our actual costs in relation to where our EAA is set and how the impact of the coronavirus will have or may have on need to implement the EAA as we go through the month or go through the year. Any questions on our power supply report?
Yeah. Yeah. Quick question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Commissioner Raboob.
Yes. Since we know that the energy is so cheap nowadays, especially oil, would that also affect all other energy sources that including gas and others, since you know, and how that will be related to today's charges in terms of I know that we signed already a contract, but would that fluctuate with the reality of the marketplace, or we kind of locked into that contract?
Chair Mattern, can I take that?
Yeah, General Manager Heron.
Well, basically.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Mabou. Oil, as we continue to go forward with renewables, is having less and less of an impact on our energy purchases. A large proportion of our contracts, as you alluded to, are fixed. We got a long-term contract with Wisconsin Public Power, which goes out to 2030, which has an escalator in per year, which we're not able to get out of. We've had that discussion or talked about that already. We have a contract with GRE that we're locked into until 2024, I believe. That contract also has an escalator in. And our contract with WAPA, that's our hydro federal power contract, that is our lowest price, most reasonably priced contract. And that one's all hydro. So basically oil has no impact on that contract at all. What influences the cost of that contract is water availability. And then the remainder of our power supply comes through Missouri River, which is a combination of market power and renewables, solar, wind, and then some coal and natural gas. So will lower oil prices affect our contracts? If you recall, the Missouri River had indicated when they did their area meetings that based on the economics and the economy where things are going, that they don't anticipate a rate increase this upcoming year. However, they continue to monitor where things are going. So hopefully our wholesale power supply outside of our contracts that have fixed escalators in it, the remainder of our power supply contract will remain very stable.
So fixed escalator, does that mean that there is a determined certain amount that it will go up? Is that what it means? Is it escalating?
Correct.
Is that what it means?
That would be correct. What we are paying for power today, we have fixed quantities in both of those contracts from WIPI and GRE. And those fixed quantities by the year carry forward to the end of the contracts. And what we have to pay for those fixed quantities continue to go up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no, very good question.
All right, any other questions on the cost of power report? All right, General Manager Heron, I'll let you continue on with our COVID-19 financial update.
All right, thank you, Chair Mattern. With this, with that said, the commission asked 2 meetings ago if we would provide an update from the presentation that we gave going into the COVID-19. So hopefully this answers some of your questions. Hopefully it answers Commissioner Mabu's question about our budgets, where we're at, what do things look like, and where could we potentially end up. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Kevin, and he'll go through it, ask questions as we go, and or when we get to the end, you know, don't hesitate to ask your questions so that we can answer them. A lot of unknowns yet at this point in time, but as we go forward, we're getting a better understanding and a better picture of what the potential impact could be on us here. So with that, if there's no questions, I'll turn it over to Kevin to take it away.
John, thanks for the shout out, but I believe this is Michelle's.
Oh, you're right. Kevin has a strategic plan. Sorry, Michelle.
That's okay.
Michelle, you want to take it away, please?
I would be happy to. Thank you, John. As you mentioned, this is an update to our original presentation from April 13th, and just wanted to give you an update and some data as to where we're sitting with the effects of COVID. And the first slide is our late charges. Just a refresher that the stay-at-home order began on March 13th. It expired on May 18th, of course, in phases that we have reopening and things like that. So under the order, some businesses are still closed and have not reopened even partially yet. We're waiting until, I think, June 1st for more. And as this slide indicates, we're looking at the late charges, and we are waiving those currently, but we want to keep track of what they were last year compared to what they are this year and what they're waived. You'll see February, the second half, and these are charges for the month of the usage. So there's, in our billing system, we have 2 cycles, so there's a little bit of, I don't want to say disconnect, but for lack of a better word. So how I presented the late charges is for the month of usage. And second half February charges would have been, I believe, assessed in March. And so we actually were down about $2,700, and that was a good thing. For usage in March, we are up not quite $1,000. So the numbers are looking okay. We'll keep watching them, and we just keep track of them and see where they're going. And right now, MMUA is working with the Minnesota PUC for guidance on restarting the penalty charges and disconnection of services. We are recommending that we just follow those recommendations once they are established, and not kind of, some are going out on their own and deciding when to do that. We suggest that we stick with what MMUA works out with the PUC. And then the next slide, we have just some data for you here, looking at the past due history on the electric side. That you will see, we did include January just as reference. Customers are only penalized on their 30 days outstanding, so they don't get a late charge on their 60 days or their 90 days or beyond that. They just get the initial charge on the 30 days, and it's 10% of the outstanding balances on all services for what they're penalized. So you can see here that the 30 days actually doesn't look too bad, but as we get out further, the 60 days and the 90 days, we're starting to see more of a spread, and those are the time frames that we'll be watching there.
As you can see on our 90 days, we have gone from 30,000 in delinquents up to 50. So our delinquents at 90 days have jumped by $20,000 at this point in time already.
For slide 4, I'm actually going to turn it over to Jaron. explain some of the effects on the demand side of things.
Thanks, Michelle. So what we're looking at here is the effect of COVID on our electric demand. The table on the left-hand side kind of shows the pre-COVID time frame. And this first row is the last 6 years, the average from January to March is 34.3 megawatts. And that's very close, or actually the same as the year 2019. And then we compare it on the bottom row to this year, 2020, where we're at 32.4 megawatts. And as we stated in the previous presentation, that's 5.5% lower. And we attribute that to just the milder weather of 2020. Then on the table on the right-hand side, we're showing again that six-year average, which is 30.3 megawatts for the COVID timeframe, or what I'm using as March 15th to May 15th for round numbers. Again, last year, 2019, is very close to that 30-megawatt average. However, the bottom row, again, for the year 2020 is at 27.4 megawatts. That's actually 9.6% lower than our six-year average. So based on this information, the data supports a 4% reduction in electric load due to COVID-19, but could be up to 9.6%. We're just attributing that original 5% to the milder temperatures. And as we'll see later in the presentation, the effect on revenue, it is really dependent on our weather, so that will influence where we're at financially. Any questions on that slide? All right, I'll pass it back on to Michelle then.
All right, thank you, Jaron. Going forward, looking at the electric side for the KWH sales, we have a couple of tables and a chart on here, and definitely we welcome the feedback from the commission. If you'd like to see less, if you'd like to see it differently. I know, people process information differently. So we tried to provide a couple of opportunities here for you to see that. And as you can see, the February through April sales in 2019 were about 5.8% more. So we're a little bit less in 2020 than we were in 2019. And just for reference also, we used February through April because number one, January, we in 2019, we had a bill cycle change. So it proved to be a little difficult to extract the data and have real apples to apples. So we chose to go with February, start with that. And that is also, the month before the whole COVID situation really hit here and things were changing in March and April. As you can see, the average change from a breakdown of residential and commercial and industrial were about 4% lower year over year and 6% lower on commercial and industrial. Looking at the revenue side, it kind of falls in line. Our revenue is about 5.2% less this year than it was last year, and residential, commercial, and industrial fall in line also, 4% and 6%. Any questions on any of that information so far? If not, well, we'll just go into the water side. The same information here as we saw earlier in the electric, your 30, 60, 90 days. And also a note to point out for assistance programs such as UCAP, Salvation Army, et cetera, those typically only provide assistance for electric charges, not the water, the district heat, or the wastewater. So with electric, we may have a better position because we are actually getting those funds there than on the water side. But you'll see the same trends on the 30, 60, 90 that we saw in the electric, that we're doing pretty well for the 30-day past due customers, but getting into our 60 and 90, we're starting to see that spread. And just another side note on the way that these past due charges work, they're like separate buckets. So the current goes into the 30 days, and then the 30 days goes to 60 days, 60 days goes to 90 days. It doesn't all move together. So I hope that makes sense. But this is where we're at. We'll keep watching where our past dues go in the coming months, and hopefully see that spread start to shorten up a little bit.
So, Michelle, if I can recap mm-hmm. that for the commissioners. So we take the 90 days of, what do we got here? A little over 6 million to roughly 10 million, or 6,000 to 10,000. So you got 4,000 there. So it's 4,000 plus 1,000 at 60 days. So that's 4,000 plus 5,000 and so on. Electric is the same way. Yeah. So cumulative.
Yep. And then looking at the year-to-date sales for water, which of course is measured in cubic feet, same scenario as electric with the different ways to present the data. We are running about 9.4% less on our sales. And for our residential and commercial and industrial, we're actually 5% ahead on sales for residential, and we're about 15.2% less with water. And just thinking about reasons why that is, clearly March and April, people have been home more, doing more dishes, more laundry, cooking more, things like that. Commercial and industrial, we've had some challenges there. Restaurants, salons, other businesses that are not using the water like they typically would. Then going back into the revenue for the water. And this tells a little bit different story, but it mostly has to do with our rate increase. So our revenue is actually higher than what it was. We're about 15% higher in revenue. Again, we had a 20% rate increase effective January 1st of 2020, and that was on all rate classes. But that point, we are about 5% short of where we expected to be based on what the historical commodity sales were for that. So looking at the average change, the residential revenue increase is 18.6% and commercial and industrial is 6.5% there. So it's good news that we have an increase, but we are not where we expected to be with that increase. Getting down to the end, we have our potential financial losses. The middle column is what we estimated back in April, and we just left those there as a reference point for you. As of April 30th, our late fees were about $34,000, and that was 1.5 months. So the bankruptcy losses, this is more just talking about those delinquencies, the 90 days that were about $25,000 higher than we were in 2019 for the February to April time period. And that's where the bankruptcies or write-offs is where those numbers will come into play.
Michelle, I'd like to interject something here mm-hmm. for the commissioners as well. Michelle mentioned earlier on in the presentation, but I'd like to mention it here again. The PUC, Minnesota PUC, is looking at when we can start charging late fees and when we can start collecting or starting our collection processes again. There's some push out there by the citizens boards that we are not allowed to start charging late fees and or collecting until 12 months after the peacetime emergency is lifted. So if that happens, we'll be going a number of months here before we're going to be able to do a whole lot with our delinquents and or charging late fees. And as Michelle said earlier in the presentation, our recommendation to the commission is that we follow the PUC's recommendations. There's a push out there for the legislators to address this through legislation. And that's the last thing that we want. We want more flexibility than having something rigid by legislation. So more to come on that. Thank you, Michelle. Go ahead.
The next section is our reduced sales. As we noted, the electric, we were about $331,000 short. The water, we took what our revenue was over, but then recalculated it, factoring in that 20% rate increase, and we are about $30,000 short based on that projection. So we don't really have a total as of now, but I think we're doing a good job. Our customers are doing a great job just trying to keep those 30-day delinquents down, making their payments. We're watching, you know, how the payments are, like mobile and the different payment methods, things like that. So I think we're doing pretty well right now and keeping track of things closely. And as mentioned, on April 13th, the commission approved that we would delay some projects, our capital $2.2 million and our O&M projects of $245,000. And those, as of now, everything is still delayed. Any questions about any of the information?
Thank you, Michelle. Circling back to Commissioner Mabu's question there about the $3 million. Here you can see the $3 million that we were talking about early on and where we are at today. And based on our financials with our reduced expenditures in relation to our reduced revenue, I would say, or as I said earlier, financially, we are weathering this very well at this point in time. We do have a big month ahead of us, the month of May, as we had a customer that was shut down for almost 2 weeks there. So that's going to have a significant impact as well. So we'd like to provide another update to the commission here in 4 to 6 weeks. And hopefully by that time, we will know where the state and the country is at as a whole, as far as returning to work, as well as have a better picture on our delinquents and on our actual revenue and expenditure adjustments. So, as Michelle said, any additional questions from the commissioners where we're at?
Yeah, John, how much of this reduced, we're getting reduced usage, is it due to weather? It seemed as though to me that I don't have the data to back it up, but it seems like this year so far has been drier and cooler than normal for the spring. And I don't know if that is the same over the last few years. They've been almost like we've been warmer. I don't know what kind of an impact that has on why we're seeing the reduced sales.
As Jaron noted on the slide that I went back to, coming into the COVID-19, our sales are low, not our KWH sales, but our demand was off about 5.5% going into it. So if that carries through into the COVID period here, we're saying about 4% of what we got going on of the 9.6, 4% is COVID related. But again, that's hypothetical. We don't know. Going into COVID, would our consumption, our demand and energy sales been more normal on the 5-year average? Possible, possibly not. So that's why we wanted to caveat that on this slide here that we're down 9.6%. We're down 5.5 going into it. So reasonably, we can expect that 4% at a minimum has contributed to COVID. Answer your question, Commissioner.
Yeah, I know we're going to have a certain percentage of it COVID related, but other, you know, I don't know if there's a certain, the other 5%, like you say, is that just normal changes in the market?
It's possible. No, good question. That's why I wanted to point it out, because at this point in time with the data we have, we can't contribute it, our losses all to COVID, because going into COVID, we are already down based on weather adjustments.
Any further information on that report then, John?
No additional information from staff's perspective.
Okay.
There's questions from the commissioners that we can answer or try to answer.
Any additional questions, commissioners?
I have a question. I don't know if I saw it here today, but the last report, we were going to be off by $3 million in revenue of some sort. And we looked at expenses and had come up with 2.2 million, 2.5, somewhere in there to hold off on And then we added some to the reserve fund to make up for that. So where does that sit today? And have we looked at our expenses or projects hard enough to make up for that, to, you know, to get whole on that $3 million?
Thank you, Commissioner Weber. Another good question. Screen I have up going into this back in April 13th, we had to offset that $3 million. We're looking at $2.2 million in capital project delays and basically $250,000 in O&M. And $500,000 out of our set aside, our catastrophic event reserves, made up that $3 million. So when we look at where we are today, yeah, it looks like we are, you know, not anywhere close to that $3 million. Could we be? Our late fees are probably going to exceed the $75,000. Bankruptcies, that's an unknown at this point in time. I don't think we're going to get to the 1.3, but it only takes one or two larger businesses to file bankruptcy and we're there. Reduced sales, from what I'm seeing at this point in time, I don't think we're going to get there. However, let's jump back to our financial statements. Revenue is down, combined, you know, roughly $1 million. Our expenses, we've been able to control. We're down about $2 million there. That's pushing our retained earnings up. So financially, we are weathering this at this point in time very well. My recommendations would be to continue to delay our capital projects that are going to offset our retained earnings, because our retained earnings are used for capital projects, and continue to monitor our O&M expenses at least for another month to 2 months before we pick them up, yet to make sure that we are going to financially weather this COVID pandemic that we got going on. So even though I'd like to have a more concrete answer for where we are today, it's a wait and see yet, because like I indicated a little bit earlier, May is going to be probably our most challenging month for sales. So we need to get May's information in first, which will come in at the end of the month, and then we can provide another update and we'll have a better idea and we'll probably have some new recommendations on how to approach what could potentially be the impact of the coronavirus on WMU.
I have a couple of quick questions in regards.
Okay, did I answer your question, Commissioner Weber?
Yes. My question is, you know, to get to that $3 million, we haven't put off $3 million in projects or expenses. And so have we looked hard enough to get to that $3 million?
Okay, when you say we haven't put off $3 million, we put off $3 million in capital projects we have on hold.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm looking at the $2.2 million that we delay, the slide that you have up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we put $2.2 million of capital projects on hold at this point in time. We put $250,000 of O&M, and if we do hit that $3 million, the last $500,000 would come out of our catastrophic event account. If we hit that $3 million in losses, so that's why we got capital projects on hold yet. And offline, if you're wondering what some of them are, I can go through them with you, Commissioner Weber.
No, that's. I guess my question again is the $3 million that we show we're going to come up short as of with this presentation. You're showing about 2.5. Have we looked hard enough to try to get that extra $500,000?
I apologize. I follow your question now. You're talking about that $500,000. We had looked at that. There's probably another $500,000 we could get, but the reason we didn't propose it and the reason that staff proposed going to our catastrophic event plan is the reliability piece. We didn't want to pull any project that would compromise to a great extent reliability. That was first and foremost, and we felt that rather than taking additional capital projects, that we'd be better off going and utilizing our catastrophic reserve fund and then replenishing that over the next year or two, depending on how much we had to take from there. So yes, there's more there that we could take, but at staff level, we didn't recommend taking more because of reliability.
Understood. Thank you.
Commissioner Magnuson, you had a question?
Yeah, good. John, can you go back to the bankruptcy page where you have the $3 million on there? The bankruptcy losses, will that affect operating revenue because we won't receive it? Or will we have an expense item under the expenses so we'd recognize the revenue and then offset that with an expense piece also?
Commissioner Magnuson, that's a good question. Don't know if I can answer that today. At this point in time, typically our losses are wrote off as an expense. But if they get to be too significant, we might have to look at if we want to use some of our catastrophic event dollars to offset those rather than letting them hit our O&M budget all in one year.
Okay. And then the second question I got is in regards to late fees. What do we have in the budget right now for late fees for the three-month estimate?
About $75,000. We estimate about $25,000 a month in late fees.
Okay.
So, and that's going into this, we're hoping to minimize the impact of 3 months, but legislatively, where the discussion is going, I don't believe we're going to get by with 3 months. Like I said, there's some talk to go all the way out to 12 months after the peacetime is lifted. So more to come as things materialize.
Okay, yeah, that was my question. If it really affected what we had in the budget, or is that what we thought we'd estimate in late charges that we'd be writing out? So thank you. No,
that $25,000 a month is in our O&M budget as revenue.
Any other questions at all on the update here?
Quick clarification, John. This is Zach. You mentioned that putting off the capital, projects on a side, and you showed the OM the other half, the other $250,000. Is there any reason why you didn't put the catastrophic $500,000 on that chart? What is the reason behind it? Completing the $3 million as you indicated.
Oh, it's a good question, Commissioner Mabu. Well, you just didn't put it on our original presentation. We had the catastrophic event dollars in there. I guess we just didn't pull it forward here as a means to balance that $3 million. We were more focused on projects that we were delaying versus where additional dollars may come from. But we can add that in the next update. We can put that catastrophic event plan in here to balance this $3 million with delayed projects and retitle that delayed projects and or reserve dollars to cover losses. Oh, good question.
It would be good just to, to make it sense, like a $3 million. So it'll be easy to read that. Thank you.
Yeah. It'll make sense. We can reconcile those two numbers out.
Any other questions? All right, we'll move on to the next agenda item. General Manager Heron will talk a little bit about the lobby closure.
Lobby closure, what we have going, we have the lobby closed till the end of the month. And we're looking at we're following the case counts. And yesterday we had up by 19, Sunday was up 14, for the week we're up 40. We had a couple days in single digits there. And we have a couple concerns. Our lobby right now at most could hold four people to maintain social distancing. If a customer walks in and they have a couple kids with them, which is typical to some extent, our customers come in and they bring their little kids with. It would be difficult to maintain that. Staff also, is they have been very diligent here with cleaning, disinfecting, social distancing. So they would like to see us continue with the lobby closing for a couple more weeks if possible, if the commission supports that. So our question is to the commission, would you support for our customers being our lobbies relatively tight and for our staff here that we continue to monitor the active cases by the day for the next 2 weeks and reassess and maybe look at opening the lobby mid-June or end of June, depending on where case counts go on a daily basis.
Commissioner Woods, we'll be looking for each of your input on this. I would start off by saying that I certainly favor keeping things closed for a little while longer. I'd rather err on the side of caution than jump into things quicker than we need to, but I'd like to get everyone else's input as well.
If I may jump, Mr. Chair, I'll be truly favored if we can open in some extent with the safety, you know, the lobby, because I know that a lot of folks like to pay their bill and they kind of run around in downtown. So that would be very helpful. As soon as we can open the lobby, that's something that I'm favored for. Of course, with the distancing, you know, provided, you know, safety and cleanup will be. That's something that I favor for. Thanks.
Other commissioners' thoughts?
I can agree with you, Justin, that we should possibly keep monitoring and keep the lobby closed for a short period of time yet, but continue to monitor what's going on. And I can see, I don't know, people that have probably made adjustments so that they don't really need to or know how to pay their bill or otherwise, or make contacts with the utilities in other ways so that they don't necessarily have to use the lobby.
Additional thoughts?
Sure. Chair Mattern, if I can expand on Commissioner DeBleek's comments. Sure. Ed Staff, Michelle pulled up our phone payments, our online payments. We had our phone payments are up 540. Our mobile payments are up 460, and remit, which is basically payment by check through mail, is up 726. So, people are, by all means, as we noted in our COVID update, payments are coming in. There, people are finding other ways and means to submit their payments.
Okay, Mr. John, if I interject to this, you know, seeing that the payment coming on time, people like me and others are really paying heavily on this because we have people literally standing in front of my office asking me if I can help them out to pay them online because they don't even read. So I have a guy who owns a grocery store in my building and he's been really having people online trying to help pay their bill. So it's been really putting pressure to other individuals that trying these people to pay their bills on time. So that's my concern, you know.
And we understand that, Commissioner Mabu, and that's why I put it on the agenda here to talk about it, to find out, you know, where is the balance between our customer safety with our lobby area, as well as staff safety here as we go forward. So, I welcome the input here, so.
Yeah, I just want to share with the commissioners, you know, that recently I happened to be in Menard, and actually they have, you know, forcefully people have to wear facial mask, you know, that you cannot even enter the building without a facial mask. And they also have other ways of really kind of distancing and things like that. So if we can implement some sort of ways of really maintaining that, that will be a great beneficial, the safety of our customers, and of course, with also our staff here.
You know, that's a valid point, and General Manager Heron, I think that's something that whenever we do reopen, that it's important that, you know, we try and implement whatever options that we can for both social distancing and facial coverings as well.
Well, we've talked about at staff level at our management meeting last week that once we do open up, We follow the same protocol that other businesses do. We put footprints or X's on the floor and ask people, you know, to stay their distance based on the markings on the floor. And we're going to put a sign outside to let people know not to come into the lobby and to follow the markings on the floor, on the concrete outside, things of that nature, you know, normal things that everybody else is doing. And hopefully, you know, people will follow it. Part of our challenge is, as I noted earlier, it's our lobby area. If somebody comes in with a couple of their kids or one of their children, then to meet the social distancing, if we're going to have two tills open, would be impossible. So the solution to that would be one till only, one line only coming into the building. So that if somebody brings one or two of their children within, that we still maintain that social distancing for our customers.
John, quickly, is it costly in order if we have a buzzer, you know, like when the people coming into the lobby, having the, you know, some of the staff members just buzz them in as we see it, if it's full so that people cannot come in so that they wait on their turn. Is that something will be, you know, facilitated, or would that be costly to us?
I don't know what it costs to buzz somebody in, but if we have the footmarks on the floor and we have a sign out there that asks people to, you know, follow the markings on the floor for social distancing, as somebody leaves the lobby, everybody would move forward on the markings. So therefore they would know that, you know, they would be able to eventually move into the building if they were outside.
I don't think
they'd
be
that. The reason I'm asking this question is just so that this will be a long term. This is, you know, coronavirus is not going away next month or 3 months or 6 months or even a year. So I will really suggest something that is going to be safety, number one, that we need to implement, and also the customer care, so that somehow need to be balanced and something that could be very helpful. That's what I'm going to be really supporting for. And thank you.
Are you Commissioner Mabou? Are you suggesting that we should only have one customer at a time in our lobby, and that way when that customer leaves, we can, you know, buzz in?
Yeah, if you can buzz in one by one, you know,
one first at a time. Comes,
you buzz them in, and then no one can come in. And when you're done with that, you buzz in the next person, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Perhaps that's something to look into for sure. Commissioner Lahmer, you had a question, I believe.
Yeah, I wave and do you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay. All I was going to say is I was in favor of going by what the staff recommendations again, because they are looking at number of cases in the county or looking at those cases. So it's based on something factual, not just an emotional keep the lobby closed, that they're going by the facts of it. So I would be in favor of staff recommendations to leave it closed a little longer.
Additionally, I see that we've got a question here from Councilmember Sean Meskey. I don't know if that's something that we maybe want to run past the attorney or not, but he's asking, where does the utilities lobby fall on the June 1st guidelines for phase one reopening? I don't know if there's a legal opinion on that, or if General Manager Heron, if you have any insight on that.
I can share my thoughts regarding that, but then yield that question over to Mr. Scott. But social distancing to 6 feet. So even though, you know, once the governor allows for additional gathering, he always continues to talk about maintaining 6 feet. That's when we started looking at our lobby. We're looking at how can we maintain the 6 feet between customers. And our lobby doesn't allow for a lot of room for those customers. So I don't know if Mr. Scott has something more to add to that.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, General Manager had my thoughts exactly, which is that you certainly are able to open the lobby under the executive order, the most recent one. But it's important that the commission and the utilities continue to follow the guidelines from the Department of Health. And at this point, that's still for fewer than 10 people in one place at a time, always maintaining social distancing. And it sounds like from the discussion, the maintaining social distancing is the, you know, limiting factor here. So I would just echo what the general manager said.
know, I think Commissioner DeBleek, did you have
a thought? Yeah, just a question on the guidelines for that there. Would that, would you schedule and include the deep cleaning of that lobby area at least once every 24 hours?
Kevin, if I can yield that question, I believe our cleaning people clean that every 24 hours, as Commissioner DeBleek is asking. Not, they clean once a day here.
That's correct. They clean each evening. I'm assuming, being the lobby is closed, that they may not have hit the door handles and those kind of things, but we could certainly have that conversation with them to add that back in. And then we're also looking at items like putting hand sanitizers and those sorts of things in the lobby, and along with a future opening here. So,
any other commissioners have thoughts or input on this particular question? So, John, I think, you know, as we move forward, certainly looking at the numbers day by day is an important thing to do, to kind of keep an eye on this. You know, our county has experienced a little bit of an upward trend here recently. I think after the Memorial holiday here, the next week or two is going to be telling, just to see what comes out of that. I think that that's part of the concern. We're trying to determine where that's going to take us. I think looking into Commissioner Mahbub's request and just seeing what we have for options for, you know, allowing one customer in at a time certainly is something that should be looked at regardless. I think I've got somewhat of a consensus from the commission that at least keeping it closed for the first 2 weeks of June as we monitor things would be acceptable, and then we can bring it to the perhaps the next commission meeting on the first part of June, whenever that one is. I'm not exactly sure, but this would buy us a little bit of time just to kind of monitor what's happening right now and give staff a little bit of an opportunity to look into some options for how we want to safely reopen.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. We will do that. We'll continue to monitor count. We'll probably know it on our website, social media, events that the lobby will remain closed for an additional 2 weeks here, middle of June, and track the trends, and hopefully we can get opened up as suggested by Commissioner Mabu with limited people in the lobby. So,
all right, thank you.
Appreciate the input. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, with that, I'll have General Manager Heron move us on to the liability coverage waiver form.
Thank you, Chair. With that said, in the past, we've always waived. I'll scroll down to the bottom of this form for starters. The city checks the box. The member does not waive. We've always taken that approach and action as well. What does that mean if we check that? That means that if we elect the box that says that member does not waive the statutory tort limits, an individual claimant could recover no more than $500,000 on any claim. Total of all claimants for single occurrence would be $1.5 million. So looking for the commission to concur with that by resolution, and then we can submit our application for renewal.
I move for that resolution to happen.
I second that.
Commissioner Lahmer has the resolution. I heard Commissioner Mahbub with the second on that resolution.
Yes.
Any questions from the commissioners on that resolution? I'm not hearing any. Ms. Mathiason, if you could take roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mahbub?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
That carries. Thank you, everyone. Next agenda item, we're also looking for additional input from the commission on continuing with the conducting of the Zoom meetings. And actually, I think I'd want to turn this one, if I could bring in our attorney, Robert Scott, just to ask from a legal perspective in how the governor's executive orders play out, what we are legally even allowed to do kind of moving forward on these Zoom meetings.
Certainly, Chair, thank you, and members of the Commission. Under the most recent applicable executive order, certainly the Commission would have the authority, if it felt it important to do so, to go back to in-person meetings. However, I think we would be acting most consistently with the latest executive order to continue meeting remotely for now. And the reason I say that is under the executive order, there are obviously just kind of a general prohibition on gatherings of 10 or more people, but the commission and governmental meetings in general are exempted from that restriction. So you could, as I mentioned, legally decide to resume meeting in person. But the executive order still includes I think the word is strongly encourages that meetings be conducted remotely whenever possible for now. So I'd say that's not a requirement, but that is the most relevant guidance. So again, if the commission in its judgment feels that it's important for it to meet in person to conduct its business, I think it does have authority to do that. But for now, the guidance and the direction or encouragement, if not a requirement, is that meetings continue to be conducted remotely if possible.
And Mr. Scott, while that's legally allowed to continue these Zoom meetings, does that auto expire with the executive order, which I believe is sometime later in June?
I think there's a couple, it's somewhat murky, I guess. For sure, while the governor's declaration of peacetime emergency is in effect, I think that clearly means that the city of Willmar and the Utilities Commission may continue to meet remotely under that exception in the open meeting law. I think there's an open question if the peacetime emergency were allowed to expire at the state level, could the city of Willmar's local emergency continue? And I actually think if, you know, the circumstances locally warrant that, that yes, you could continue to meet remotely if, you know, the case specific situation in Candiota County warrants it. But I'm not sure that question will ever really present itself, because I think for a while at least the peacetime emergency will continue to be extended unless there's a dramatic improvement in the situation statewide.
Okay, thank you. So we have a legal opinion there. I think speaks highly there of what we can do legally. Commissioners, I guess I'd be looking for your input on what your preference is at this point.
I think if I may jump in, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Mabouk, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, to continue it, this type of meeting, the Zoom, will be beneficial at this time, since we still have that six, distance, you know, the social distance requirement is still in place. I would recommend that we will do Zoom until otherwise, you know, that has been changed.
Thank you. Other commissioner thoughts?
I guess I can agree with Commissioner LeBlue on that that aspect. As long as the social distancing is in effect, it's prudent to meet with Zoom.
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. Anybody else?
My only comment is I would appreciate meeting in person, but that's not realistic. So I'm in favor of going with the Zoom meetings longer, especially if we're going to keep our lobby closed. We should, as commission members, kind of follow that as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Lammer. Anybody else?
I'd be in favor of the Zoom meetings continuing.
Thank you, Commissioner Magnuson. Commissioner Erickson, Commissioner Weber, any thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm fine continuing with the Zoom meetings.
Zoom works for me.
I think we have consensus. We will continue on with our Zoom meetings for now, at least as long as we're legally allowed, or we can certainly kind of reassess this in June and just see how things are looking as well. So,
Chair Manor, it'd be appropriate for us to put it on the second meeting in June for further discussion.
I think that would be a good time to discuss it again.
Okay, it'll be on the agenda as an agenda item, the second meeting in June. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next agenda item, educational topic on the strategic plan. We have Mr. Marty and Ms. Moratsky.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. As mentioned, we have our updates to our strategic initiatives today. our task list. Just as a reminder, these task lists and timelines were approved by the commission on September 9th, 2019, and have not been changed. What we're doing today is basically giving you an update on those, where those projects are. Wanted to, if John, if you'll flip to page two there, we just wanted to start off, as always, with our mission statement and remind that Wilmer Municipal Utilities will provide safe, reliable, and quality utility services at competitive rates for their customers. I think that a lot of the discussion that I've heard today is centered around this, and we try and go after these strategic initiatives the same way. So we can jump right into these. We'll start off with the first one, is our admin and operations building. You may notice what we did on the task list. The tasks remain the same, but they used to have bullet points and they were a little bit hard to follow. So we numbered them and removed the bullets and added numbers to them. And then that gives us a little bit easier way to give you updates on those tasks. So as you see, task one, the commission authorized us to proceed with the new facility project. Our update for that was that the commission authorized staff to develop site criteria and options that meet our criteria. That is in progress, although I would say slowly. That was approved on the July 17th Planning Committee meeting and the July 22nd Commission meetings. We're also going to add those references in, so as a good reminder to all of us when those projects were talked about last. So task two was the community committee. The commission had directed staff to keep this in-house, so no action there. Staff three was to identify potential locations. We started that project a little bit and started with a list of needs for our facility. And then that's about as far as it's gone. We haven't taken it any further due to COVID-19 restrictions. Tasks four, five, and six dealt with getting into architectural and construction and completion. Obviously, there's been nothing happening there, so there's no updates on those three items. Can go ahead and move on to financial position. Once again, the tasks are numbered. Task one, and we're ongoing monthly with that. Obviously, COVID-19 has put some projects on hold. And once again, the reference to our April 13th commission meeting when we commission approved us putting those projects on hold. Task two, the plan is updated annually, our 10-year capital improvement plan. And that always kicks off in July with commission approval in September. Task three, the monitor opportunities for future transmission investments. We're actually planning for and working on that Benson area project is in progress right now, and additional transmission investments in progress for Wilmer and Priam. The task four rate study. The rate study was completed in 2019 with an increase in water rates starting in 2020. So we'll jump to generation. This is generation, gas, diesel, and power plant. Task one, the decommissioning date was set for June 30th, and that's in progress. To meet that date, task two, potential operations. The staff continues to look for dual fuel generation options and are currently working on the catastrophic event plan for emergency generation that was approved on March 23rd meeting. Number three, the changes to permit requirements of diesel generators. We're not aware of any changes on that right now, but we do keep an eye on that. And then coming up, the 2025 assess the remaining life cycle of the current diesels. I actually just had a conversation with our Ziegler rep this last week about our diesel units. They are quite, I guess, parts and service are very readily available for these units right now, and there is a lot of them in the field. So from Ziegler's standpoint, they see no issue getting 30 plus years out of these units because they feel that they will have parts and support available for that. So that's good to know about our diesel generators. If we jump up to generation renewable energy, the next one, task one was taken care of. We paid off the wind turbines in 19. Task two, the market green energy programs, that's handling through MRES starting in 2019. The task three, evaluate potential for solar, community solar project, that is on hold with our new building project. And like the diesel generators, the life cycle of the units, life expectancy on wind turbines is approximately 20 years. Our units are approximately 11 years old. And just the opposite of the diesel generators, availability and supply of parts and support, that'll be an issue that we will struggle with the wind turbines. And at some date, it's always challenging to source those parts. We can jump up to substations and transmissions. Task one, the staff is participating in that Benson area transmission plan, and that plan improves improvements to the Wilmer Priam substations, and that target in-service date is sometime in 2022. Task two was the Priam substation that was put in service in June of last year. And then task three was a future project looking at constructing an additional substation on the southeast corner of town, and there's no update on that. Staff continues to monitor demand, those types of things, and keeps that project in mind. And then the last but not least, the water system. Task one was to monitor water quality for initiating plan improvements. We continue to monitor lead and copper contamination levels as the copper levels continue to increase. Task two, we have an upcoming planning committee meeting to discuss the design completion for the Northeast plant improvements. And task three is tied to task two, will be discussed at that upcoming planning committee meeting. So after going through all those, does anybody have questions that I can address? Otherwise I would submit as shown.
Commissioners, any questions on the strategic plan? Doesn't sound like much. Kevin, thank you for the update. It's always a lot of information to keep on top of, so we appreciate what you guys are doing with that. I know there's been changes to the format of this over the years, and I think that that's been helpful as well. So,
you are most welcome.
All right. I'm hearing nothing from commissioners, so we'll move on to the next agenda item. We have an update on the district heat.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. We continue to transition customers onto their own system. Last time we reported, we're at 87. We're at 75 now, 21 commercials, and 5 customers use district heat for their water as well. But we've reached out to everyone, especially those with using our district heat for their tap water heat, for their domestic heating, and they're all assuring us that they'll be transitioned off here by the end of June. So hopefully everyone will continue transitioning over. Any questions where we're at with district heat?
So I'm a little bit shocked to have that type, that number. You know, we only have altogether like 35 days and the clock is ticking. So do you think they will have enough time to get off?
A lot of Commissioner Mabu, that's a good question. That's been a concern of ours. A lot of customers are telling us that, yes, you guys are shutting the heat down, and yes, we know we need to put in our own heating system. However, they all feel they have till October to get it done. And that's true for a lot of them. If they don't need the heat system to run in conjunction with their AC unit for humidity control, like most businesses do on a residential perspective, that is true. They do have till the fall heating season to complete it. So we'll see next month, at the end of next month, how many we have left, how many are working on it, and how many of them are actually waiting until fall.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Maboub. John, one of the issues that we had earlier on was that there was a handful of customers that we had not been able to make contact with, but I believe at this point you have now been able to contact everyone.
That would be a correct statement, Chair Mattern.
So at least that's encouraging that we know that everybody is absolutely aware that this is taking place. So,
and the dollars that we are sending over to UCAP and town to help, Michelle had reached out to them here, I don't know, a month ago, Michelle, and they had said that they have more dollars there from WMU to help assist than what they have applications in for at this point in time. So that's encouraging as well that they still have dollars there to work with if there are individuals that need assistance. So,
well, we're definitely down to the wire. So if there are folks out there that need that assistance, they need to be reaching out, whether it's to us or UCAP or whoever it is that they can do so with. So, commissioners, any other questions on the district heat update? All right. Thank you for that report. And John, I'll let you go into the general manager's report.
All right. Thank you, Chair Mattern. I really don't have anything to add to the general manager's report unless there's questions. I will encourage the planning committee to watch for your emails. Beth will more than likely be pushing out a calendar invite for a planning committee meeting here at the end of this week. It's a short week, so more than likely the first part of next week.
That sounds good. Any other business to come before the commission today? If not, I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.